From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. On this New Year's Eve, we end 1992 with some music and comedy as we continue our holiday series from the Fresh Air Archives. First, a concert with a band that can turn any rock and roll song into a polka, Brave Combo. In their 1990 concert, they showed us how to make a hip song sound square. Also, a 1989 interview with comic actor Martin Short about all the imaginary showbiz characters he's created and the real showbiz guys he's done impressions of. That's all coming up on this New Year's Eve Fresh Air. First, the news.
From National Public Radio News in Washington, I'm Corey Flintoff. The Central European country of Czechoslovakia ceased to exist at midnight local time tonight, just 1 hour ago. One of the two successor states, Slovakia, prepared a big celebration. Burton Boleg reports from the Slovak capital, Bratislava.
Czechoslovakia is splitting up with none of the violence and hardly any of the passion that has accompanied the breakup of Yugoslavia and the Soviet Union. The richer and more numerous Czechs tend to feel that the negotiated breakup of 74-year-old Czechoslovakia is unfortunate but necessary due to Slovak demands for greater autonomy. Only hours before the event, Slovak Prime Minister Vladimir Mečiar told journalists that despite separation, he wants close links with the Czechs to continue. Public opinion polls show that most Slovaks never wanted full separation and are fearful for their economic future. But some Slovaks began celebrating this historic occasion at a big patriotic ceremony with fireworks at midnight. For National Public Radio, this is Burton Boleg in Bratislava.
UN Secretary General Boutros Boutros-Ghali visited the besieged Bosnian city of Sarajevo today, where he was greeted by angry protesters. About 50 demonstrators jeered and spat on the UN chief's car, blaming him for opposing the use of military force to stop the fighting in Bosnia. Boutros-Ghali has urged Western nations to postpone any decisions until talks in Geneva on Saturday among leaders of Bosnia's ethnic groups. Bosnia's president, Alija Izetbegović, was not in Sarajevo to greet the UN chief. He was in the town of Mostar in southern Bosnia trying to shore up the alliance between Bosnia's Muslims and Croats. 45 United Nations personnel caught in fighting in northwest Cambodia have been evacuated. Sue Downey reports from Phnom Penh.
The UN launched an evacuation plan earlier in the day when the Khmer Rouge began shelling Svai Lu, about 27 miles northeast of the famous Angkor Wat temples. But during the day, mortar attacks on the area intensified, making it impossible for the UN to send in helicopters to lift out the peacekeepers. After intense negotiations between the UN and Khmer Rouge representatives in the area, the Khmer Rouge agreed to a temporary ceasefire. Just after dark, a UN helicopter began shuttling between Svai Lu and the northwest town of Siem Reap, bringing out the 45 UN personnel who'd been taking shelter in bunkers they had built earlier in the week. For National Public Radio, this is Sue Downey in Phnom Penh.
Stock prices came to a mixed close today on Wall Street. Blue chip stocks closed out 1992 with a slump, despite a drop in new claims for unemployment benefits and other positive economic news. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 20 points to close at 3,301. This is NPR News. President Bush visited a Somali refugee camp about 18 miles outside Mogadishu today and told reporters, "It's just too emotional for me to see this." The president was taken to a private hospital, a school, and a food distribution center where almost 30,000 refugees have been treated during the last 2 years of the Somali Civil War. Mr. Bush began his visit with a greeting to about 1,000 Marines and Air Force troops at the former U.S. Embassy in Mogadishu. He praised the troops as the best of America. The storm system that has dumped up to 8 feet of snow on some northern California mountain passes is now sweeping over the Pacific Northwest. Heavy snow and high winds have closed highways and disrupted power in parts of southern Oregon. Henry Sessions of member station KOPB reports from Portland.
Traffic has been backing up for miles in the Siskiyou Mountains of southern Oregon, where up to 14 inches of new snow closed parts of Interstate 5 overnight. Several major routes across Oregon's Cascade Mountains were also closed overnight due to traffic accidents. In Portland, snow made a nightmare of what would have otherwise been a quiet holiday commute. Meanwhile, state troopers in California have reopened two main routes across the Sierra Nevada mountains to limited traffic. A winter storm advisory remains in effect today for Northern California and Central and Southern Oregon. For National Public Radio, this is Henry Sessions in Portland.
Orders to American factories fell in November, largely because of a steep drop in orders for aircraft and parts. The Commerce Department said the value of orders received by U.S. manufacturers fell by 0.9%. Analysts had been expecting the nation's overall factory orders to drop for the month of November, largely because the government had already reported a big drop in orders for durable goods. Analysts said the decline reflects the unevenness of the recovery. This is NPR.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We have a really entertaining concert to help say goodbye to 1992. This concert with Brave Combo is part of our holiday series of interviews and music from the archives. It was recorded in May 1990. One of the great music pleasures in life is rediscovering a kind of music you'd written off as square or corny. The band that helped rescue the polka for some of us is Brave Combo. Carl Finch organized the band in 1979. There was a heavy dose of irony in their versions of Who Stole the Kishka, but the deeper he got into polkas, the more genuine his affection became. Polkas have led Brave Combo to other ethnic dance musics, and they've managed to turn an old Doors hit into a polka and a Christmas carol into a cha-cha. At the same time, they do oddball versions of seemingly unredeemable pop tunes like The Poor People of Paris. We have the founder of the group, Carl Finch, on accordion, piano, and vocals, Jeffrey Barnes on tenor saxophone and clarinet, Bubba Hernandez on bass, tuba, and vocals, and Mitch Marine on percussion. Welcome, all of you, to Fresh Air. Carl, would you introduce the first tune?
Yeah, this is Jesusita and Chihuahua. It's a traditional Tex-Mex polka, and it goes like this.
One, two, three.
Okay, that's Brave Combo. That's great stuff. Were polkas ever forced on you before you started liking them?
No, not at all. In fact, there was a kid that lived two doors down from me who had the accordion forced on him, and I would listen to him practice Lady of Spain or whatever and would think what an unfortunate little fellow he was. But then later on, and it's funny, I would keep thinking back to that because when I think about how I didn't have the accordion growing up and he did, and I felt sorry for him, now I wish that I had some very basic accordion instruction when I was younger, But I sort of fell into the polka, you know, during college.
How?
Shopping bargain bins, going to stores and that sold primarily cutouts and where I could find records for $3 for $1. And a lot of the records were ethnic records.
I think the next piece we're going to hear is written by Bubba Hernandez, who's the bass player and tubist with the band. And I think you're going to be singing on this as well. Would you introduce it for us?
Okay. This is Laura Cha-Cha-Cha. And it's by us.
It's a cha-cha. Ready? One, a two, a one, two, cha-cha-cha.
You know what I'd like to do? Since you play so many different ethnic dance musics, I'd really like to ask each member of the band what your ethnic background is and if there's a kind of music that you grew up hearing that you either did or didn't like a whole lot when you were young. Bubba, you wrote the last piece. Can we start with you?
Yeah. I'm Mexican-American. I'm from San Antonio and grew up listening to everything. A lot of musicals and, of course, a lot of Mexican music. And came up to North Texas State and did a jazz education there and ran into my fellow members here.
Mitch Marine, drummer with the band.
well, I'm from Peoria, Illinois, and so I guess I was brought up on Southern rock and Aerosmith, basically. And
a long way from the beer barrel polka.
Very, very long way. And then when I went to college, started listening to jazz, and then went to North Texas State, moved down to Denton, and joined the band and started really listening to ethnic music and a lot more stuff.
Jeffrey Barnes, tenor saxophonist and clarinetist.
Okay, my family's from Ohio. We're, I suppose, mainly German and British Isles and American Indian. I listened to classical music coming up and then kind of got to be a blues fanatic when I turned 14.
Carl? And Carl Finch is the founder of the band, piano and accordion.
Let's see. I grew up in Texarkana and started my first rock and roll band in the seventh grade and listened to a lot of Yardbirds, a lot of the British rock and British blues. That was the main influence. Jeff Beck was always a big influence on me. Then I went away to college and decided I wasn't going to play music anymore. I was going to get a degree in art, so I got a couple of degrees in art. I decided I didn't want to do that as a profession, and started kind of abandoning all the things that I thought were right and proper in my life, and started looking into new directions for value structure, and kind of discovered that there was a lot of great music out there that I'd written off, and really no background at all until I kind of was led in the direction of this new music.
Well, I want to hear some more of the music of Brave Combo, but first, let's take a short break, and then we'll continue our concert with Brave Combo playing ethnic dance music and some things, some surprises. This is Fresh Air. It's a Fresh Air concert with Brave Combo, and they play dance music of all kinds, and they record on Rounder Records. And Carl, want to introduce the next piece for us?
Okay, this is a waltz. It's a Polish waltz. It's called Breslau, and we just happened to find this from one of those records that I found in a bargain bin. It goes like this.
Brave Combo, and you know, I'm sitting here listening to all this great dance music, and I'm thinking, I could probably tell you all stories that would make your hair stand up about cha-chas and, and polkas and merengues from catered affairs gone by, and I just am so excited about hearing the music kind of taken out of the kind of bad union musician context that I heard it growing up. But you know, I'm wondering, like Bubba, for instance, if growing up in a Mexican American family, if you didn't have to. If that music never had that kind of bad, scary effect on you that it had on me, for instance.
Oh, no, not really. I mean, as long as the music was played good, you know, I think I was pretty open to anything that would come by me.
So, I mean, it wasn't considered square in your family to do a cha-cha or a polka?
No, because I think a lot of youth still, you know, if, like in the bands I played with, if you played a wedding or if you went to a wedding or a debut, the band would play half top 40 and half polkas and cumbias and Latin music. And it's required of you, or you require that of them too, you know? That's what you want to hear.
We have a pretty diverse ethnic background represented in the band here. Can I just hear what the worst songs any of you have ever had to play for weddings have been, coming from your different backgrounds?
Well, sometimes we play those worst songs. Part of our live show is to, and not so much to form value judgments, but to play certain kind of wimpy songs in a wimpy style. You know, we do that as just sort of to juxtapose that against playing something as tight as possible. But we do sort of wimpy arrangements now of The Look of Love or Tie a Yellow Ribbon or There's Got to Be a Morning After or Feelings. Any of these things.
Daddy's Little Girl.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like Daddy's
Little
Girl.
I like Daddy's Little Girl.
Yeah, sure, it's a nice song.
We like, I guess we kind of even like these songs.
What's amazing is once you start playing this stuff, you do break down all these things you attach to it, and you start to hear great things in songs that you would never have liked. For instance, I really like the song Sweet Pea now a lot. I even like Tommy Rowe's arrangement of Sweet Pea. It's a really tight thing. There was a time when I would have thought that was the dumbest, stupidest song ever written. Knock Three Times, I think, is a great song now. Even that arrangement, that performance, Tony Orlando. I don't know if I'd want to hang out with Tony Orlando, but I like that recording of that song now, and there was a time that I didn't.
Can you do a few bars of one of these songs for us?
Oh, sure. What, maybe, you want to hear a funny arrangement of Proud Mary, for instance?
Sure, but that's maybe too good of a song. I mean,
oh, not how we play it. Here we go. Let's do a little bit of that.
Everybody do the rock and roll.
We play this in rock and roll clubs as quietly as possible. Okay? Here we go.
Okay.
One, two, three, four.
Rock and roll!
So it goes like that. It's a good icebreaker, too. Once people see how miserable we can be, then they, you know, everybody sort of breaks the ice and we're having a good time.
What are you likely to go into after that?
Maybe we'll go into Chemuchem, for instance, which is an Armenian folk song that we really, really, really like.
Did anybody ever play as square as that in real life?
I did a lot of hotel gigs.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, we saved Bubba from his lounge gig.
Yeah,
that's what he was doing.
I got through college playing hotels and honky-tonks.
Now, on one of your records, you do The Doors, People Are Strange as a polka.
Right.
You want to do that for us?
Okay, well, this is People Are Strange, originally by The Doors, and we play it as a polka, but it's actually a hora and would be very appropriate for a bar mitzvah. It's kind of a circle dance. Everybody grab hands, and here we go. Ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven now when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange, people are strange. When you're a stranger, faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. When you're unwanted, streets are uneven. Now when you're down, when you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. Yeah.
Terrific. Carl, what made you realize that People Are Strange would make a perfect horror?
What made me realize that?
Yeah.
Well,
why'd you pick on that song?
Well, it seemed to be, you know, it was kind of slow. The Doors did it kind of slow, and I thought, well, one thing we can do is make it faster. And then we made it faster, and we made it faster, and now we perform it about that tempo live, and it seemed a little fast for a traditional polka, unless you're very, very good. So it looked more like something that you would see as a circle dance. And also, it's in a minor key, which sort of lends itself better to that kind of thing.
Of course.
But there are some things that don't work. You know, we try other songs sometime as polkas or horrors or cha-chas, and they don't work at all. And so we don't always just take it because it seems like a novel thing to do.
Could I get you to play a few measures of a failure?
Of a failure? Let me see. Well, what is it that we've done recently that didn't work? I remember, I know one. Bus stop, wet day, she's there. I say we share my umbrella. Bus stop, bus goes, she stays, love grows under my umbrella. That sounds like just people are strange again.
Hey, that sounds pretty good.
Well, it does at first, and then the more we would play it, the more we realized that, you know, it's just not as strong, and there's too many words, and the message seems different. Somehow the message of people are strange is not so specific as a song like Bus Stop.
How about Hey Jude, Cha-Cha-Cha?
Well,
that works.
Would you like to hear a measure? This is pretty funny.
Yeah.
One of our fans from Oklahoma City came up to me and said, hey, Carl, I know a song that'll work as a cha-cha, and we hear that a lot. You know, people are always wanting us to work up Grateful Dead polkas, which we've never found a song yet that really works for a Grateful Dead polka. But he said, Hey Jude, Cha-Cha, and we thought about it, and it goes like this. One, a two, a one, two.
It is amazing. Has the reception your band has gotten changed in the past 11 years? Do people get what you're doing more than when you started?
I think so. I think that with world music kind of coming up also, people are more accustomed to odd sounds like the accordion or someone singing in a foreign language. Those have been the main obstacles to overcome as much as just the form, just the fact that it's a polka, but having someone actually pay attention and listen without laughing to Bubba singing in Spanish or to hear us try to do our best with Polish or Armenian or whatever. At first, I think it was novelty to most people, and now I think people realize that we sincerely try to play these things as close to form as possible. And by that, I think that our acceptance has grown.
Well, I had a ball with the concert, and I want to thank you
thank you very much, Terry,
for performing. It was just really a lot of fun.
It's our pleasure.
The band is Brave Combo. And the members of the band, again, are Carl Finch, he's the founder. We heard him on accordion, piano, and vocals. Jeffrey Barnes, tenor saxophone and clarinet. Bubba Hernandez, we heard him on bass, tuba, and vocals. And Mitch Marine on drums. Thanks to all of you. Carl, would you play us out?
Oh, okay, this is the Satellite Polka by one of our heroes, Larry Chesky from Holyoke, Massachusetts. One, two, three, four. Woo! Woo!
Brave Combo, as recorded in May 1990 in the Fresh Air Studio. It's part of our holiday series of interviews and music from the archives. Brave Combo's records include Humansville, Musical Varieties, and It's Christmas Man, all on Rounder Records. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR, National Public Radio. Thank you.
From Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. Long before Martin Short starred in movies or did his impressions of Jerry Lewis on Saturday Night Live, long before he created his character Ed Grimley, Short hosted an imaginary TV variety show in his bedroom. Coming up, The Martin Short Show. It's part of our holiday series of interviews from our archives. That and more coming up on Fresh Air.
From National Public Radio News in Washington, I'm Dale Willman. 1992 ended with mortar fire in Somalia. Military officials say warring factions in the capital city of Mogadishu exchanged mortar and small arms fire in a western suburb for about a half an hour. No one from the international force in the country was said to be involved in the shooting, but U.S. soldiers did use gunfire today to break up a food riot in a town west of the capital. NPR's Alan Tomlinson reports.
A platoon of U.S. Marines was sent to the town of Ballydogal when a large crowd began looting a famine relief warehouse. A spokesman for the U.S.-led military task force said the Marines dispersed the rioters without casualties by firing shots into the ground in front of them. Marine Colonel Michael Hagee told reporters that U.S. forces today secured the town of Merka, the last of eight food distribution centers in the famine-torn southern half of the country. The military operation, he said, would now move to a new phase, that of stabilizing relief supplies throughout the disaster area. He said troops would continue to disarm Somalians of all weapons they encountered on the street, other than light firearms. However, said the colonel, U.S. forces would not enter the armed compounds of feuding Somali clan leaders to remove their fleets of machine gun-carrying pickup trucks. I'm Alan Tomlinson reporting.
U.S. President George Bush is spending the night on board a U.S. aircraft carrier anchored off the African nation's coast. He spent New Year's Eve day visiting relief centers around Mogadishu, as well as talking with U.S. troops. The International Red Cross has made another appeal to be allowed to take humanitarian aid to more than 400 Palestinians expelled from Israel. The men are currently living in tents on a snowy hillside in southern Lebanon. John Devitt filed this report for the BBC.
The International Red Cross has taken the latest initiative in efforts to provide aid to the Palestinians. Their plan was presented to the Israeli Foreign Minister Shimon Peres. It's understood to involve sending a medical team with first aid equipment and a number of Red Cross officials, whose job it would be to compile a list of those at the Palestinians' camp and pass on letters and messages from their families. The mission would be sent from the Israeli-controlled zone of southern Lebanon on a once-only basis and would return within a day. An Israeli government official said that under the plan, no other supplies would be sent because Israel says that is the responsibility of Lebanon. The plan would have the advantage for the Israeli government of improving its image in the eyes of the Israeli High Court, which is to consider the government's case for not providing aid to the Palestinians.
John Devitt in Jerusalem. The Washington State Supreme Court will hear arguments Monday on whether hanging convicted child killer Wesley Allen Dodd would be unconstitutional. Attorneys for the 31-year-old Dodd claim that such a death would constitute cruel and unusual punishment. Stock prices closed mixed on Wall Street today, with the Dow Jones Industrials losing 20 points to close at 3301.11. This is National Public Radio News from Washington. United Nations Secretary General Boutros Boutros-Ghali received a cold reception in Sarajevo today. He was there to appeal to people in the besieged city to give peace talks more time to work. But enraged residents booed him and spat on his car. There's tremendous disillusionment at Sarajevo and elsewhere with UN efforts to end the nine-month-old siege. More than 17,000 people have died in fighting there, and another 1 million have been left homeless. The START II treaty that President Bush is scheduled to sign this weekend is the third major arms control accord of his presidency. Far-reaching as it is, the treaty does not bring about full nuclear disarmament, and Barry Schwide reports that there could be problems if other former Soviet republics don't get rid of their nuclear weapons.
This is the second major treaty cutting back nuclear missiles reached under President Bush, and he also presided over the East-West Treaty in 1990 that effectively ended the Cold War in Europe by providing for the elimination of thousands of tanks and other conventional forces. The START II treaty will not be fully implemented until the end of the century, however, and it does not ban long-range nuclear weapons aboard warplanes, submarines, and warships, nor does it eliminate all long-range nuclear weapons on the ground. The treaty does not extend to three former Soviet republics with nuclear weapons because they're committed under the first START treaty to getting rid of them. The problem is, while Kazakhstan has ratified that commitment, Ukraine and Belarus still have not. For National Public Radio, this is Barry Schweid at the State Department.
A new study by AIDS researchers indicates that a strain of the AIDS virus that is resistant to the drug AZT is showing up more often. AZT is the most widely used anti-AIDS drug, and researchers say the study indicates an urgent need to develop new drugs to combat the epidemic. According to researchers, the resistant strain of the virus is turning up in people who have never taken the drug AZT, so it appears some of the patients are getting the virus from people who have already been taking AZT. This is NPR News in Washington.
This is Fresh Air. A lot of comic actors aren't very funny when they don't have a script in front of them. Not Martin Short. As part of our holiday series of interviews from the archives, we're featuring a 1989 interview with Martin Short. In his years on the comedy shows SCTV and Saturday Night Live, he became a one-man cast of showbiz characters. He created Jackie Rogers Jr., the albino lounge singer, and Irving Cohn, the old songwriter. And Short perfected impressions of Jerry Lewis and Katharine Hepburn. But the character he became most famous for was a homebody, the manic and indecisive Ed Grimley. Short has been in the movies Three Amigos, Inner Space, Three Fugitives, and Father of the Bride. He's now starring with Bernadette Peters in a new production of The Goodbye Girl. The show's in Chicago and begins previews in New York February 13th. Short is great at physical comedy. He used to do pratfalls to get easy laughs as a kid. This interview excerpt begins with me asking Short if he ever hurt himself doing physical comedy.
I once was doing a piece in SCTV called Jerry Lewis Sings Dylan, Lewis Sings Dylan, and I was on top of a eight-page kind of podium, and I was in this bad outfit, and I was singing, "The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wah!" And at the wah, a big wind was blowing, and at that point, all my clothes got ripped off, and I was just there in my underwear, polka dot, of course. But there were little strings attached to all my clothes. Well, they pulled, and the Velcro didn't go, so I went flying through the air and landed on my knee, which I'm still.
I shouldn't be laughing.
No, it was okay, but that was not out of me screwing up.
Right.
It was out of me foolishly writing that piece.
You know what you were just saying before about how when you were young you used to buy the lemon pies from the neighbor and you'd purposely trip and land with your face in the pie on the way home, make everybody laugh. When you were young, did you try to make your life into a sitcom as much as possible?
No, it wasn't that. It was just a sensibility in my family. I am the youngest of five and everyone was funny. I mean, everyone was very funny. My brother Michael has won two Emmys for writing SCTV. He's 6 years older. Comedy was very normal in our family. Do jokes was to be normal. Insult each other was normal. It was an Irish family that could have bursts of anger and then be gone in 1 second. It's very interesting. I have this like opening of Christmas gifts from 1966, a tape that I put on when I was a kid, and I heard it this year, you know. And I was amazed. It was like a mental family. It was like screaming and shouting and then laughing within the next second. No particular rhyme or reason to it. And so comedy was very normal.
Let's talk about some of the characters that you've created. Let's start with Ed Grimley, who you're still doing in animation for Saturday morning television. Who was the character based on? Was it based on a type of person, someone you knew, or was it a part of yourself that you imagined yourself being?
I think it's all those things. I mean, there were a couple of people that aspects of the character were based on. One was a guy I knew in high school who kind of talked like this. His voice would go up. Oh, his hobby was taking pictures. And he said, "Oh, I've taken some wonderful slides. You should really see them." And so that kind of quality. Then there was someone else that kind of talked like that. So I kind of put the voices together, and the enthusiasm for life, I guess, is an aspect of my personality. Ed is like the ultimate heart attack victim who has survived. You know, he just can't. He never did stop smelling the roses and being amazed at how wonderful life is. Everything is fascinating to him. If the phone rings, you know, he'll say, before he answers it, he'll stop and ponder, isn't the phone wonderful? There's always such a sense of mystery, I must say. You know, and it becomes very kind of a fascinating adventure to answer the phone. Well, in a way, it is. We just tend to be a little more jaded. So he developed in Second City Stage, and I would do him around the house.
He does this great, he has like two different dances. There's the, like, I'm nervous dance, in which he puts one hand on his forehead and dances around in this really kind of uncoordinated fashion. And then there's the I'm happy kind of dance that he does. Where does that come from?
I don't know. I just, you know, I just do these dances, I guess. There's not much thought put into them.
Did you do these as a kid? Did you dance around when you were happy or nervous?
Yeah. I haven't changed that much.
You still dance around when you're
since
happy
I was
nervous.
A kid. Again, with these tapes I have. I used to tape a lot when I was a kid. My brother used to say that I was going to tape the first 30 years of my life, listen to it, and then die. That would be, you know. But my wife, Nancy, will listen to a tape when I'm 15 and be stunned at how similar it all sounds and seems. And, you know, she's someone who will say that, you know, she's, who was she when she was a teenager? Is she the same? You know, she's gone through different aspects of her personality, and it seems like there's a constant.
Let's talk about Jackie Rogers Jr. A great character.
It's very, now let me say something about you. That you like Jackie is very revealing, because, you know, there are two camps on Jackie. People either find him totally, I mean, just hate him.
Oh, really?
Or they love him.
Oh, I love him.
Like the cast at SCTV, most of them didn't like Jackie.
Really?
Yeah, they thought it was just kind of grotesque. And we'd write these pieces, Dick Blasucci and Paul Ferry and I would write these pieces, we'd take them in the read-through, and they just kind of die, you know? But because the cast trusted me, they let me do it. And but I always liked Jackie. Rock and roll musicians tend to like Jackie. Yeah.
Well, I like Jackie because he's so extravagant and so show busy.
Yes, he's also the most self-absorbed
yes.
character that I've ever done. I mean, I did a special a couple years ago.
He's a lounge singer for any of our listeners who don't know.
Who's also albino.
Yes.
And cross-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
His long white hair. And he once wrote a book based on life with his father, Jackie Rogers Sr., and it's titled Damn You, Daddy Sir. It's a bad laugh, too. That was the laugh. It's kind of your tongue. It's like a little dog with the tongue through the teeth.
I think it's fair to say that one of his anthems is She Loves Me.
Yes, it was his dad's song. You know, she loves me, and my amazement, I love her. What the heck does that mean? Nom, 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 nom.
That's a Sheldon Harnick song.
Yeah.
He also wrote the lyrics for Fiddler on the Roof. And
right.
This is from the show She Loves Me. How did you, I think Jack Jones had the hit of it. How did you choose that song as the perfect showpiece for Jackie Rogers Sr. and Jr.?
I don't know. I used to go into the writer's office at SCTV, and I'd always be like, she loves me under my amazement. And they'd say, you should do a piece on that. And this was 1982, and I kind of said, well, I don't know if this is an old subject matter, you know, lounge singers. But then I thought that I would do a short piece, a two-minute piece, on this character, Jackie Rogers. So we wrote a piece called Jackie Rogers, Old Mother Nature, She Loves Me, which was supposedly something that had been done in 71, and Jackie Rogers had been killed while doing it. Whilst doing it, as Ed would say. And they were finally releasing it 11 years later. And at the end, I needed in a little circle, someone to pop in and say, you know, watch the show. So I invented Jackie Rogers Jr., who was a white-faced albino, to pop in the circle and say, you know, I miss my dad. I hope you won't. Thursday's at 11. And
now, you started off doing musicals, and I think you even had a cabaret act before you started doing
No, I never,
you never
I
had a
used
act?
To do cabaret shows. You
know, okay.
What's a nice country like you doing in a state like this? Stuff like that, you know.
Did you want to be a
the
singer?
The apple tree. Yes, I wanted to be Frank Sinatra.
You did?
Senior.
Martin Short is my guest. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. We're featuring a 1989 interview from the archives with Martin Short. We talked about some of the characters that you created for a sketch comedy. Let me ask you about one of the impressions that you did, and that's of Jerry Lewis. I think you're really good at it because you know physical comedy and you can capture the kind of goofy aspects of Jerry Lewis, but you also get the kind of dark side, the bitter side, and the ego of the man. What interests you in Jerry Lewis?
Well, I think initially as a kid, because he's a huge influence, would be the comedy. I mean, as a kid, seeing The Delicate Delinquent, which was my favorite, I just found it so funny. He was so funny to me. I think, again, maybe keeping in the idea that maybe comedy is often best. I mean, I've never done stand-up, and so verbal banter is... not intrigue me as much as is interaction, but as, but also surprising the audience. Never, you know, constantly giving 90-degree turns. And Jerry, who would suddenly go, "Wah!" you know, at the top of his lungs, always, it just made me laugh because it was so mental, finally, you know. But then when the other aspects of the personality started to crop up, well, that's even more fascinating because it's like a kind of fascinating painting that you can do without it being obvious. Again, as surprising as the scream is the other aspects of the personality.
How do you rehearse to do him? What do you, do you steady him before doing him?
I would start singing, "Gotta get my old tuxedo pressed, gotta smile, hold notes and shake, and I tell you what a joy and a thrill and all good stuff." You know, you just kind of, I would suck a lozenge, imaginary lozenge. I don't know why. It's not like he does a lozenge. But it's just an idea of, you know, an attitude. And sometimes you just hear people. It's like music. You know, you hear it and you just kind of get the placement in the voice or the throat and nasal. Or Robin Williams, very kind of like that. You know, there's more back there. You know, so you just kind of play.
Have you heard from any of the people who you've done impressions of?
Well, Robin's a friend of mine, so he finds it very funny. And Jerry Lewis said that he found it very funny.
That must have been a relief.
Yes, it was, because you don't want to irritate someone that you admire. And Hepburn, I don't think she stays up late, that late, or cares.
Now, I've read about you that when you were young, you used to do an imaginary TV show in your room that would run on alternate weeks in your imagination with the Andy Williams Show.
Yes, that is very true, and we were canceled, too, finally, which is a tragedy. Hullabaloo, I think, replaced us. Yes, I used to, it was 8:30 Mondays in my mind.
Right.
And we'd tape ahead, you know, we'd have shows in the can. And I'd type things up for TV Guide, you know, highlights Marty will sing. And I would come out, and I had a Frank Sinatra at the Sands album, so I used that as an applause record. And then, you know, I'd use intros from albums, you know, or, and I'd have a guest, you know, my guest would be Tony Bennett, and Tony would come out and say, "Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand." I'd sing another song, I just don't remember the words, you know, and he'd be my guest, and then I would, you know, sing with him, you know, with the record, and then I'd go to the applause, and I'd, you know, piece it together, reel to reel. And then I would take, you know, the Playboy of that month and do the interview with Eldridge Cleaver or something, and, you know, I'd sit and you say that we're not moving fast, and, you know, and I'd then read his part, and then I'd end with a medley, and then someone would call dinner, and we'd tape later,
Did you sit on a stool and sing like Perry and Andy used to?
Oh, sure, yeah. But sometimes I just throw that stool aside and belt out a big final.
Because that's the kind of informal guy you are.
There was no one restraining me.
So who were your sponsors?
Bulova Watch was a biggie. And the Kraft people.
they did.
No cigarettes even then.
They did Perry Como.
Yeah. Kraft. Well, I know. They were very generous to help me out as well.
Why, if you were doing an imaginary show, would you have it alternate every other week with Andy Williams? Why not be on every
How
other week?
How could I do my films?
Every week, I mean. What?
How could I do my films?
Oh. Yes.
Remember,
yes,
I was directing as well.
No, when you were doing these shows, were they serious in your mind, or were they parodies of the show? I mean, were you doing them for real, or were...
No, it was real. I had a fantasy world that wouldn't quit, you know? I mean, I would... If I got on the back of a bus, I would go... I would go to the back of the bus, where the windows were kind of oval-shaped, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that it would... I'd have more of a sense of riding in a limousine. Do you know what I mean? It's like... And if I looked out the window, or I'd pretend I was, you know, on an airplane taxiing off, and fans had, you know, this is a 10. I was just intrigued by it. It wasn't something, it wasn't like Rupert Pumpkin, or wasn't it?
Rupert Pumpkin, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that sick, you know. It was clearly a fun hobby, you know. It was fun. And while other kids my age were protesting, you go to have a revolution, I was up in my room singing, weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day, you know. But certainly in no way did it become something that I, you know, would answer to two different names or anything.
Did your imaginary show have a theme? A song?
No, there would be a production number, you know, kind of opening, which would be similar, where dancers come out and go, Marty, it's time for Marty. But, I mean, that wasn't a real theme.
Oh, what a nut.
Yeah. Sad, huh?
Our interview with Martin Short was recorded in 1989. It's part of our holiday series of interviews from the Fresh Air Archives. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
This is Robert Siegel. Coming up later on All Things Considered, news of President Bush's visit to Somalia and Boutros Boutros-Ghali, the UN Secretary General's visit to Bosnia. Also today, a story about the difficulties American couples are facing adopting Russian children and bringing them home out of Russia with them. The 10 top movies of this past year, in the opinion of our film critic Bob Mondello, and the 5 best of many other categories, in the opinion of many other people. In addition, your letters on the merits and demerits of Night Work, and about whether the recession really ended in March of 1991. Those stories on All Things Considered later from National Public Radio.
We're going to end the last Fresh Air of 1992 with a song from one of the first Fresh Air concerts, a 1987 performance by Jay McShann. Jay McShann led the Kansas City band that gave Charlie Parker his start in 1941. Our concert was solo McShann. This is When I Grow Too Old to Dream.
Thank you. grow too old to dream. I'll have you to remember, and when I grow too old to dream, your love will be in my heart. So kiss me, oh, kiss me, my sweet. And now let us part. And when I grow too old to dream, well, your love will be in my heart. Kiss me, my sweet, and now, oh, let us part. And when I grow too old to dream, your love will be in my heart. Well, your love will be in my heart. Well, your love will be in my heart.
Jay McShann, recorded in the Fresh Air Studio in October 1987. Happy New Year from everyone who helped make Fresh Air possible in 1992. Our production staff, Deborah Beagle, Dorothy Farabee, Robbie Harris, Fred Landrell, Danny Miller, Marty Moss-Cohen, Steve Motter, Phyllis Myers, Penny Nelson, Kezia Perlman, Naomi Person, Amy Sallet, Roberta Shurrock, Ellen Silva, Sue Spolin, Joan Tuohy, Sue Weinstein, Nate Zelnick. WHYY's technical staff, Bob Alls, Ron Barron, Thad Kirk, Dan Lachlan, Joyce Lieberman, Richard Parker, Audrey Voblaitis, Scott Williams, and engineers at NPR, their bureaus, and member stations. WHYY's management, Kathy Ball, David Othmer, and Mark Vogelzang, and Fresh Air alumni, Lisa Bruton, Ed Doherty, and Chris Spurgeon. We hope it's a healthy, happy, peaceful year for you. I'm Terry Gross. Talk to you in 93.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by this and other NPR member stations. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
On the New Year's edition of Fresh Air, we continue our holiday series of interviews from the archives. We'll hear from guitarist and inventor Les Paul, also an interview with comic actor John Cleese. I'm Terry Gross. I hope you'll join us for the next Fresh Air.